dream last night. A vision. I saw a world full of people. Everybody was dancing and screaming loud. They were just there to listen to the music. It was deep. It was underground. Let's turn the world into a dance floor.
Are you guys ready for a state of trance? Put your hands in the air, come on!
This is a State of Trance podcast.
And I think they're ready for it because they were already doing some nice dance moves. Hey, what's up? My name is Ruben Ronde. Welcome to a new State of Trance podcast. And I have the pleasure to be joined today by a duo for the first time. Normally, it's just one person. So double the fun. Nicola and, of course, Daniel from Germany and Croatia.
Hello.
Corti, Oregon.
How are you?
How's it going?
Thank you.
Really good, actually.
Yeah.
To be here again. So
studio's always nice.
Yeah, we were just talking about it that you guys were here for episode 1008, I think.
Yep.
And that was literally in the middle of lockdown here in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So when we organized the trip last time that you were coming to the studio, we needed to be sure that there's a PCR test.
The whole shebang.
Offices here were closed. There was no one on the highways, basically.
Yep.
And here we are, almost a year. No, more than a year later.
Yeah.
What is the biggest difference for you traveling here?
The traffic.
Yeah, because the last time there was no traffic, right? Yeah. Whatsoever.
Last time we were here really quick and today it took us ages. Like so much cars, people.
People get away from me. But we didn't have a podcast last time. We did 10 questions, but it turned into a podcast. So basically what we're going to do is to dive a little bit in the history of Corti, Oregon. And also, I have a couple of fan questions for you. And that's it.
Cool. Nice.
So you guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Okay, perfect. Have a little zip because this is going to...
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. The podcast always starts the same for me because, well, I'm going to ask this twice now. Let's start with you, Daniel. What has been the moment in your life that you were like, this is the music that I love and I want to become a producer/DJ?
Basically, that's our bio. It's from... mid and late 90s where the music television was big.
Mm-hmm.
The trance scene was mainstream basically, and you got the music television to broadcast it everywhere, and every time I tuned in and something like back in the days Paul van Dyk or Tom Craft came up, it was like, what is this kind of music? And then in the radio stations at night there was
probably TV station Viva
and
TV,
Viva Club Presentation.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the radio was Sunshine, maybe?
Blank & Jones.
Blank & Jones, Eins Live, German.
Eins Live, yeah.
It was great. It was long hours in the night. Mayday was broadcasted and everything. And it was like, what is this kind of music? I love it. And then Love Parade obviously had happening back in the days. And it started. And Nicola, we have friends like
for ages,
like back elementary school.
Yeah, we'll get there in a minute because I want to have it. Because it can be the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So for you, it was that you were listening to the radio, Eins Live. I remember downloading from Napster. Downloading those live sets from Eins Live, Paul van Dyk, your call corks and stuff like that. So I remember Eins Live. We didn't have it in the Netherlands, but I remember it from the MP3s that I was downloading and the live sets. What about you, Nicola? What was the moment for you that you were like, I love this. I want to become a DJ. I want to share my music with the rest of the world.
I think it happened quite at the same time as Daniel, but for me specifically was definitely the era of Armin, Ferry, Paul van Dyk around the 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, first, actually, I didn't want to become a producer. I just said to myself, I want to become a DJ or DJ. And then we started DJing at school parties. And
was this together already?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
We actually had three other friends, and we called, we had a little project going on, and we called it the Pressure Corporation DJ Team.
Pressure Corporation DJ Team.
Yeah.
Okay. There must be a good story behind that.
It's actually that back then already we liked a lot of bass and parties, and then we bought a few like players and everything, and then someone could book us for their parties, school parties. And then we realized when we had to play more commercial kind of music back then, even though we liked it, Limp Bizkit and all that, we always waited for the last 2 hours, like 3 a.m.
And then the pressure.
To play electronic music. Put on pressure on the dance floor. And then it took a few years, and then we said, like, we don't want to do this other part anymore. We just want to focus on electronic music.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how it started for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm very curious, like, how did you find out? Were you friends before you started loving music? Like, or is that something that brought you together? Or you were already friends and then you started discovering music together?
Exactly.
Ah, okay.
We were actually, back as kids, we were already a very, I wouldn't say artist.
Artistic.
Artistic. We were meeting up to draw comics.
Ah, okay.
On paper.
So you were already creative when you were kids and also together already.
Yeah, yeah. And we drew them on, we did Ninja Turtles.
I did those too. Actually, I wish I had a pen here. I would draw it because I can still, I think with muscle memory, I can still do it. Like you start with an angle and then you have two, like a circle around it and then you have the bandana. Yeah, I think I can still do it. We have to try it.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
We should bring, I actually have them still at home, and because I think we have 30 editions. We made it like editions, like, and every edition
full on comics.
Yeah, it was a small story, a little quiz at the end, and stuff like this. Yeah,
it's awesome. Who was your favorite turtle when you were playing?
Michelangelo.
Leonardo.
Leonardo. Okay, so the blue one and the orange one. Yeah. I still remember. Why do I still know this? It was good times to be honest. Like the Ninja Turtles were good times. And Splinter.
Cowabunga.
Eating pizza. And I still love eating pizza. So big props to them. And then there was this, so you were DJing together at school parties and stuff like that. Mm. And until when did you do those school parties?
2004 something. Basically, we start buying our own vinyls from the record shops and thought like 2004, okay, we did enough of those school parties. We want to do trends.
And it was still the group with friends was still the Pressure DJ team?
Yeah, sort of. So basically we both thought this trends or techno and everything is more our stuff and the other guys went more the mainstream.
So they did the first hours and then you did the second hours. Did you make a split? And then, so you went together. You went to, okay. And then because that's 2004, 2005, you say, and then there's a gap because your first release was 2013?
Actually, 11, I think.
2011.
Yeah, some really.
So there's a gap of 7 years. What happened in those years?
Learning and producing.
Study. Study. I mean, I went to faculty and he also to some school and then, you know, still kept, didn't produce at that time, but still kept the DJing thing. Mm-hmm. But I think during the first or second year of my studies, I started making trends. And I think I had, if I remember well, a producer sample pack from Mike Coughlin.
Yeah, okay.
And that was one of the first tryouts. And then was also EJ, DJ.
A techno EJ.
Yeah,
I use that too.
It took a few years.
It took a few years just to find. Because we thought, how is this music going to happen? So who are the artists behind the tracks and how can we become one of them? And the DJing was one thing. And then we realized, okay, we have to learn this producing stuff. We need to teach ourselves, to educate ourselves. Yeah. And that took some while,
And back then, there wasn't so much online teaching possibilities like nowadays. I remember that I went to a weekend workshop from back then. ATB had a music school in Germany. They had a weekend workshop. And then started our first track where we said, this is good.
Yeah, basically reached out for the community. And Juno Beats Forum was a thing back then. Mm-hmm. And trends.nu and met up for a few guys and still have contact with them.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. A few names in the scene where we know from those forums. And
we met Husman actually in Juno Beats Forum.
Okay.
And his alias back then was Gitano.
Okay.
And we did a track together. And then we actually did also a track together as Cordy Organ later on. But then he decided to go his own solo path. Yeah.
So you started to learn how to make music. This was 2007, 2008, something like that.
Yeah.
And that's actually true what you say, because I remember those times I was also getting to know how to produce as well. And if you compare it to right now, you would go, oh, I love that Ben Burmer lead sound. How do I make it? Go to YouTube. How do I make the Ben Burmer lead sound? And then there's literally a 20 minutes video, someone describing how to make it. But back then, there was none of this. I needed to buy books for the Waves plugins, for example. I needed to download certain things. You needed to check the manuals. You don't have to do that anymore.
The software was very complicated back then. Not so intuitive like nowadays, Ableton or something like that.
Yeah.
Sample packs, not like we
Vengeance.
Had on Vengeance.
Vengeance.
On CD, but still on CD. We still have few of them on CD. And nowadays you need a sample pack. You have Splice. You have a lot of Google.
Yeah.
And you just hit what you want. Obviously, you need to have the word to find what you were searching. And
Now, how long did it take you to start with your production, like the first production that you made, until the moment that you were like, okay, this is good enough to release?
I think this was Jay Lou was the first where we met Woody.
We had some minor releases.
Oh, we had
before.
One on Discover Records.
Yeah,
that was Discover Records from UK. That was probably the first. And right after?
After that, we had a couple of demos and we went to a, how was it called? Dance fair? That like this.
In Jaarbeurs.
And we were in the studio with Nick Husman and all night dropping ideas, fixing up some demos, burning CDs back in the day. That was the thing. And we had a schedule like, okay, there are a couple of speakers on this dance fair thing and we want to meet a couple of them. And because it was so late at night, we went up way too late. Almost every seminar, every workshop.
Everything is gone.
And the one guy we really wanted to meet was Woody Van Eyden. And he was just finishing his speech and we just met him on the on his way out. We had a couple of demo CDs. Gave one away that day.
Yeah.
Went to Woody and the rest is history, because after that he contacted us and we worked together on that.
For how long have you been working with Woody already?
Over 10 years now.
10 years.
Since 2014, 13?
So it basically started off with, because he was also, I'm not sure if he still is, managing Alex Morph. And then that was maybe the kickoff of the relation was the collab you made with Alex Morph, or... That's in 2013.
No, that was
before we had some single releases on Woody's labels. And then we got in contact with Alex because he liked our stuff, and we tried something out, and there was a collab.
And then came Butterfly, 2014.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Now we jump in time again because I want to go back a little bit because from Pressure DJ Team, you became Corey Organ.
Yeah.
Like on which moment did you come up with the name, and what does it mean, first of all?
The name comes from the actual organ in your inner ear. So that was basically school time and we were bored in biological lessons. And the other guys were kind of cool with, let's do this Pressure DJ Team as long as school lasts. And we were like, let's do something special for the electronic stuff. And then we found this page about the inner ear and found the Corti organ, and we're like, that's funny.
So it's an organ inside of your ear.
Yeah, it's basically the interface.
Interface.
from the waves to the electronic impulses for your brain. And it's kind of nerdy, but we are kind of nerdy.
That's funny. We all are.
A lot of people who are into medical terms, they always think like, oh, kind of witty name.
I think it's a smart name, because it's what you say. It's the organ that turns waves into processing into your brain.
Yeah. It's funny. Sometimes you read on YouTube comments, people writing, I just wanted to study medicine, anatomy, and end up listening to electronic music.
That's smart. That's smart. Who came up with the name? You still remember that?
We were sitting next to each other.
It was like a boring biology lesson, skipping through the book. And
so you were drawing Ninja Turtles and then...
that's the idea.
Interesting. Yeah, because there is also a link with the medical studies and stuff like that,
yeah.
Right?
You, yeah, yeah.
Both, what is it?
He's a doctor, I'm a patient.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So you conduct the tests on on Daniel?
I'm consulting him when he's got questions. No, yeah. He's a doctor. Yeah.
What kind of doctor are you?
Internal. I just finished my specialty actually now in January, internal medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And now I work in private practice.
Mm-hmm.
Do a lot of ultrasound. I love ultrasound. And
what a surprise.
Yeah.
Ultrasound.
A lot of some nutritional medicine nowadays also, and starting to study. I like sports medicine, but my main residency is internal medicine.
And what about you, Daniel? What do you do as a side hustle?
Graphic design.
And graphic design, okay.
Everything around media, so yeah.
That explains a lot, because everything that you guys put out, it also has like very nice visual sides of things as well.
Thank you.
So that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
He did the logo from Cordy Organ, as you can see on our shirts now.
That's basically abstraction of the actual organ.
Ah, yeah. Wow, okay. Mind is blown. I finally realized what the logo is. I tried to see, it's like, that actually works. I love that. That's cool. Yeah. So if you go into the studio together, I always wonder this in duos, who does what in the studio, or who does what with a DJ set? Like how did you split up things?
The technical part is Nico's part, and I'm creative part, because
a
lot of ideas I can't put to keywords, and he's the guy who can fix it in post.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. I think that's the best dynamic you can have in a duo, because it's different sides of the brains, I think.
Yeah.
Like the whole processing part that you have to sit there and EQ everything, and that's not really something that a creative person normally likes to do, I guess.
Yeah.
So you bring in the ideas, and put the stuff together. I just wonder, like, because both of you are so busy in what you're doing in normal life, within the bracket.
Almost said real life.
Yeah, but you put out so much new music all the time as well. And in the state of trance, you played a couple of IDs. How do you do this? How do you find the time and state of mind to produce music after a hard day of work?
That's the point. A good point. I guess a lot of people are struggling with that, and you have to make time.
Yeah.
It's easier than that. So there is some weeks or months where you don't, you're just not creative, and it's not flowing, and you can force yourself into the studio, nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a month or weeks where we just feel that something's coming together, we try to put on as many studio hours as we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the trick is for us to get some kind of advance on releases, on tracks, at least half a year or a year. So you never get, we don't like to have the feeling that we are
stressed.
So you have
a constant flow of music going. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you are stressed and you feel like, oh, I need to finish now something, it will be hard.
Yeah.
Now we can go to the studio. Okay. What are we going to do today?
Or there's no pressure because already have so much done.
Yeah.
But how do you decide that you sit down in the studio and you feel that nothing's going to happen? How do you decide that you're like, okay, today's not going to happen, we're not going to do anything?
Basically on the day. It's when we meet up. We meet on a regular basis and we decide.
Sometimes
either way we sit productively in the studio or just joke around, or have a nice long walk into the nature, just thinking about stuff. And
that probably helps that you were friends since kindergarten, basically.
Yeah.
Because I think if you see duos that it came together while they were already producing and DJing, on a later stage in life, it might be a little bit harder to, because you probably finish each other's sentences because you know each other so long already.
Yes. Probably,
I'd say that. I'd say respect though, because for myself also, like sometimes I have those days as well that you go into the studio and you just hit like the wall all the time. There's nothing coming out. But sometimes 2 hours later, I'm like, what am I doing here? I just wasted 2 hours of my life.
I know that feeling very well.
Yeah. But I think respect that you can recognize it straight away and just have to walk out or do something else.
And to keep the frustration at the minimum.
Yeah.
If you say, I wasted 2 hours, no, you don't. You just learned that you don't come up with something.
Yeah.
Take this as it is. It's not nothing to feel ashamed or something. Just as we mentioned, if you have something something in advance. You don't have the pressure from behind, and we got a normal jobs, so we can and have to go back there someday. So basically, if you got the time spent on the music, it's never wasted.
Yeah, but you also have to be very, you have to be on the point, on the ball. You can't waste too much time either because
A bit of discipline you have to.
Sometimes perform. You feel like something is not going the way you want, and then sometimes we say to, okay, let's try another half an hour or another and see what happens.
And sometimes then it goes.
And it goes on and on and on. Sometimes also I'm just alone in the studio or he, and then it's like 9 or 10 and you just say to your girlfriend, I'm just going to hit the studio a bit, and then bam, 1 a.m. and you said, I did.
You wrote a half a track. Yeah. Sometimes creativity comes like that. Do you have, this is always a difficult point with duos.
What's now?
Do you correct each other on certain things, or do you sometimes have fights or arguments?
We have very different personalities. And we don't correct each other. We, how you say it, supplement each other. It's like, everybody has his ideas and comes to the other one and checks and balances. It's like, okay, is this too upfront? Is this too slow? Is basically on every issue.
Yeah.
We think alike, but on some points we differ, and that's just
What has been the last disagreement that you had?
It's a really big disagreement.
Yeah. No, just it could be anything. Like it could be a small thing, like a hi-hat that doesn't fit, or
the last one was the strike we're working now on. And we had the main idea together, the melody, and I did the intro.
First draft.
And then I sent it to him, and then he said like, for me, the break is too long. I would shorten it, and the sounds, there's too much reverb still for me. And then he said,
so back and forth then. Yeah. And that's kind of cool because we can profit from this.
And you listen to each other like very well.
Yeah.
Or at least like, you might not agree, but you would still try
to consideration
and then pick the best one.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. That's very strong.
Yeah. That's probably also while mixing, like there isn't disagreement, but sometimes when you see he's a bit off, or just you just say, what?
Wait, what? Never happens. Never happens. Disagree. All right, it's okay. Well, that's very useful information as well for people that want to start out as a duo, maybe.
Yeah, you have to find your rhythm.
Find
your harmony, yeah. And you don't travel alone as a duo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird.
But that's also one of the things, like, that's another side of things. Like, if you're a duo, then there is not a lot of income already on the music scene right now.
Yeah.
That also means that you have double the costs to fly to certain shows.
Sometimes definitely it's harder because of that, and also to get the booking.
Yeah.
Because two flights, okay, we share mostly the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
But last year we had two shows, and unfortunately Daniel couldn't come to those shows. They were just one weekend was in Czech Republic, the next weekend was in Untold, and I went alone.
Yeah.
And especially after those 10 days, I felt like, okay, it's nice to be here, but those little jokes, like you go, it just makes more fun. I mean, still during the DJ, you get the energy and you're hyped. But afterwards, when you go back to the hotel room or the morning for breakfast,
you're alone.
Yeah. And I definitely can see that some younger generation or people who are not so strong mentally, that can be hard, especially if you have that for a couple of months going on.
Yeah. Wow, that's an whole artist perspective I never thought about with the duo. That you actually support each other mentally as well, because you're on such a high when you're on the stage, but when you come down off the stage, you go to your hotel room. First, you like 1 hour before that, you stand in front of hundreds or maybe a few thousand people. Suddenly, you're by yourself.
Yeah,
that's nice that you are together. That
you can't
experience the same thing.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's really hard. Like at least from my experience, when friends ask like, "Hey, how was your show and how was the weekend? How whatever," it's hard to explain because they didn't have the same experience.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
good that you can share it then.
And you level yourself out then.
Yeah.
The cooldown is way easier because you can share the memories and then you have twice the fun.
I mean, we were in Canada for a show with Andrew a few years back, New City Gas, and we both had the jet lag. The same, we arrived, we went to bed at 6 afternoon, slept till 4 in the morning, and then we said, okay, what's now? Okay, let's go through and walk to Montreal, and it was February, and we did a three-hour hike. Nobody in the street. It was like, who's driving here? Nobody.
That's nice, actually. That's a good sign of being part of a duo. let's dive into some questions that came in through Instagram. What is the song? So we talked about the music experience earlier. Dan Rusnak wants to know, what's the song that got you into trance music? That one song that you're like, wow.
There's a few ones.
Yeah, there are a few ones, but if I have to pick one, it's Fallen Angel, Paul van Dyk.
Okay, yeah.
For me, probably Alt F4.
Ah, yeah. Alt F4.
Yeah. On Juno from the and Tiesto stuff, Suburban Train. And
if you can choose, it's easy.
Yeah. You're like, then he was like, hey, I only picked one. Come on, man. Be fair. And next question comes from Core4 Meal. Do you like chocolate? Important question.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, we definitely. Okay. There's something that I need to talk about in the podcast because I promised to do this. Because last year in October, I played at your events, the legendary events in Zagreb. And let me tell you guys. So the show was great already with Giuseppe. We had so much fun backstage as well. Yeah. And Woody was there as well. And then the day after, I remember we went to a burger place, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh. I can't remember the name anymore.
What was Submarine.
It? Submarine.
Yeah.
We sat down. I think we were just very hungry because it was after, I think it was like 1 o'clock or something that. And we didn't have breakfast. And these guys took me to a restaurant and it was, the burger that I had was unbelievable.
Yeah, we should have seen his face.
Unbelievable. And we still talk about this. It's very nice. So I want to mention that these guys have a good taste of food. So Core for Meal, that's a good point that you... Well, it's not chocolate. It was a burger, but it was still very good.
Vegan burger in your case.
It was a vegan burger. It was fantastic. Ale Celand wants to know, have you in a program a collaboration with Andrew Rayel? Again. Oh, there's a... Okay.
No.
All right. Actually, liar. Pants on fire. No.
No. Actually, really, we don't have a... For this year...
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
Nothing planned yet. We have a collab with another artist. And that's actually now a plan because we finished a lot of original tracks and we focused on vocals. Mm-hmm. Now to hit up more collabs. And that's actually now in the process of writing some ideas and then approach some. We are already in contact with a few guys. Mm-hmm. And,
Who's on top of your list for collabs?
Definitely Mark Sixma.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's all in the same, I would say, the same energy in productions, basically.
Not just. We have...
We're open for any opportunities, but we had a great time with Mark last time back in Zagreb or the festival in Croatia, Forestland.
Yeah.
And he was back. We had a great back-to-back and after the night, and it was an all-nighter festival, we were like, yeah, let's do a collab.
That's the only show I ever missed in my whole life.
Yeah.
The only show, because I was supposed to play there too.
We were supposed to pick you up.
But that's the only show I ever missed because of missing a flight. Yeah. It was a short layover time in München and I was stuck in München and you guys were having fun in Zagreb and I was, I still feel bad about that. So
we
much
took
rush.
Care of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. You had a good time with Mark, so that's very important.
And other name to mention, also, I think we like Luke Bond stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he already mentioned he would be cool for a collab, so maybe.
Yeah, do it.
We're open, so if someone listens to this, we're always open to collabs and remixes, and we just, send us a message, Instagram, and let's see where it goes.
Last question come from James Cottle.
Hi, James.
Hi, James.
I mean, when will you release an album?
Good question.
Most of the releases right now are coming out on the label of NRIO, of course, mm-hmm. French Harmony. Are you already in the talks with them to do an album maybe? Or what are your plans for the future in regards of music?
Basically, the idea of an album never gets really...
Doesn't really appeal to you?
Yeah,
it's not for yourself, I guess.
Yeah, the thing of an album is like a cool work for yourself to bring something together with a concept and everything. And I guess we never put much thought into it just to draw it fully out. Just we basically meet up in the studio and do whatever we like. And that never have been an album yet.
Okay, yeah. So I hope that answers your questions, James. So there's not going to be an album anytime soon. Yeah. Never say never, of course. But
Exactly.
So we just have to wait and see until you get at a point that you're like, okay, this is going to be a concept. Let's roll this out.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much for answering these questions.
Thank you for having us.
Wasn't too bad, was it?
No.
Okay, good.
Loved it.
Okay. Well, do you have any last words that you want to share with the listeners of the podcast?
We would love to come again. We love it in the studio.
Another half hour.
Come to our shows. Come to Croatia.
Oh, yeah. The next show, Legendary. So, yeah. What's going to happen?
Legendary, 15th October. Mm-hmm. And before that, you'll see us Futurescope, 13th of May, and Forestland in July, and Nature One.
Nice. So there's going to be a couple of core to organ shows.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you so much once again for answering these questions. Next week, we're going to be back with a new podcast with Estiva, because he just started a new alias called Kudus. So if you have any questions for him, just drop them in the comment section here or in the Instagram or Twitter. You know where to find us, or an email, armin@thestateoftrends.com. Thank you once again, guys.
Thank you.
And I hope to see you once again very soon.
See you soon.
Bye.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in. To get full episodes of A State of Trance for free, simply visit arminradio.com. A State of Trance returns next week.